It's good to see everyone here this morning. Missing quite a few folks. I guess when the walkers leave, half the congregation goes. Oh my gosh. Oh, let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to hear from you this morning by your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding of your word this morning. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Parsha Korach, or Korah, begins in Numbers 16. Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Korath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders, who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" When Moses heard this, he fell face down. He then said to Korah and all his followers, "In the morning, the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him. The man he chooses he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers, and tomorrow put fire and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far." Let's get ready to rumble. One night only, get your tickets. Korah versus Moses in front of the tabernacle. In today's vernacular, that's probably how we would have heard about this. Korah's rebellion actually encompasses four incidences of rebellion. Korah himself, Dathan and Abiram, who refused to meet with Moses, Korah's 250 followers, and the people who rebelled after Korah and his followers' demise. Rebellion, jealousy, hurt feelings, we have all experienced these. Korah was the cousin of Moses, and when Moses appointed Aaron as the chief priest, Korah experienced these feelings. He led a rebellion along with 250 prominent men within the assembly. You could say this was probably the first Jewish board meeting. It is also interesting to note that one of Korah's descendants was the prophet Samuel. Now, this wasn't the first time someone rebelled against Moses. We have to flip back a few chapters to chapter 12. And we see Aaron and Miriam's rebellion. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses?" they asked. "Hasn't he also spoken through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, and more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, At once the Lord said to Moses, "Aaron and Miriam, come out of the tent, the three of you." So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance of the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I will reveal him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, and I speak clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" As we read through the account, it was this: God is a father disciplining his three children. "You three, get out of the tabernacle right now and stand here in front of me." That's the way it comes across, you know. Now, when it comes to rebellion, our first fleshly instinct is what? Is to fight back. But here and in other instances, we see that Moses let God fight his battles. Here we see Moses falling on his face before Korah. And in Numbers 12:3, we read that Moses is the most humble man on the face of the earth. That's what I just read. If we look at Exodus 14, we again see the Israelites were backed up against the sea. They cried out to Moses, complained that he brought them out of Egypt to die at Pharaoh's hand at the edge of the sea. Moses' response is an important one. And I've said this time and time again. You've heard it over and over from me. One that we should heed today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. If we only did this more often than taking things into our own hands, things would turn out a lot better. I found that when I let God fight my battles, they turn out much better. Now, as we read through this, we see Korah's rebellion, God's judgment on Korah and his followers, God's judgment on the people, and God choosing Aaron by having his staff bud. Aaron stands between the living and the dead, and the plague stops that God had caused to fall upon the people who were disobedient after Korah's incident. Korah's sons do not follow their father and are spared. They and their descendants go on to sing in the temple and also carry the Ark of the Covenant. So what can we take away from this? What can we apply to us today? There's two very good things. First one is do not come against the Lord's leadership. Do not come against who the Lord had put in place. Do not come against your pastor. If there's a problem, pray about it and let God deal with it. Scripture tells us that we are not to entertain an accusation against an elder or a pastor unless we have two or three witnesses. And they need to be scriptural reasons and biblical reasons. Two or three witnesses. Let God deal with them. If a pastor's in sin, God will deal with them. Absolutely. The second thing that we can take away from this is let God fight your battles for you. When we do it, we tend to make matters worse. Let the Lord deal with it for you. I know it's very hard. Our flesh wants to lash out. Our flesh wants to deal with stuff right away. And when we turn things over to God, we have to remember that His time, He will take care of it. It may not happen on our timetable. We may get impatient, but He will deliver for us. Shabbat Shalom.